It's Dave O and Killian White's KC Press Box, powered by FanDuel. The KC Press Box, where you get the sports headlines that you care about. Plus, learn to make cold, hard cash with the Sportsbook 101 that teaches you every aspect of sports investing. The lineup is ready. The players are set. And now, let's head to the KC Press Box with your hosts, Dave O and Killian White.
And what a 2022 NFL season it was. We can call it 2022, right? Even though it ended in 2023.
Yeah, I think so. I was looking up the standings for the divisions, and I looked up the 2022 division.
It's weird seeing that at this point, because you're all like, 2023 Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome in to the KC Press Box with our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. It's me, Dave O, joined by...
Sharpshooting Killian White. We gotta do the noise.
How's it going, man? How are you?
It's good, man. You know, we both were invested pretty heavily in the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, so real good results there. I just used my winnings to buy a lift ticket for my ski trip coming up, so things are going well. Had a great time at the parade yesterday. We're down in the middle of all the chaos and made it back alive, so that's good.
Good. So ski trip. We need to talk about this. Where are you going to?
Going to Breckenridge. I'll be there the first weekend in March.
Are we going to go to Vegas this fall? We've been talking about this for 2 years.
Hey, I got the days. We can do it.
Can we plan
podcast
this?
Live.
Let's just. Can we go out there? We can. Yeah. We'll do it out there from the Westgate, Las Vegas out there.
Yeah. And work will totally put us up for that because it's... You know, it's a podcast thing.
Hey, you never know. you never know if we talk the right game here. But yeah, welcome into the KC Press Box. Man, I can believe that we won the Super Bowl, but it's like hard to believe. We both predicted the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl before the season.
We did.
We got that accurate. We had the opponent wrong. I had the Saints, which I just embarrassing to even admit out loud when they finished, you know, under 500. Yeah. But never expected that defense to fall apart and Jameis Winston to not be the quarterback this year. But yeah, otherwise, we both had the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. We both put our money where our mouth is. We both put in sizable bets. I took home $28.50 on the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, so just shy of $3,000. And then you were laughing. You're like, bro, of course you'd win the Super Bowl squares, right?
Yeah, I have a client who just we talked a little bit about sports betting, about the Chiefs and stuff, knows I like to wager on sports, and had a fundraiser for his kid, mentioned if we wanted to get in on it. It's just a Super Bowl squares thing. I recruited Dave O because we needed a few more squares filled. And of course, Dave O, the sports gambler he is not familiar with squares. So I'm explaining.
Yeah, because there's no skill involved.
Well, I know, but I'm explaining it to him. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's mostly a donation, but I'll put in three squares. And
I bought three squares out of 100.
So $30 turned into $147 for Dave O. Of course, he won. Add that to the winnings.
And I found that the day after, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize I'd won it until like the next day.
Either. You texted me like, did I win quarter three? I was like, I think you did.
Yeah, the funny thing was I wasn't even going to check it, but I didn't delete the email. The email just happened to still be in my inbox here for our work email.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was right in front of me. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll take 30 seconds and see if I happen to win anything. And sure enough, I did. I was like, really? Texted you. I'm like, is that how it works?
I would have had the halftime square if Bucker hadn't missed that.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Yeah, man, that's okay. So much to talk about. Yeah. We're going to get into the Super Bowl breakdown. I rewatched this game again. There's several things I want to talk about with the game. I also on the show today want to recap our preseason NFL predictions as far as division winners. I think it's important to look back and see how we did because we like to tout our record in the lock of the week, which we're now at 69% overall. And we're going to tell you the amazing percent. We are north of 80% in the NFL this season. We're going to tell you the weeks we lost. We're going to tell you some streaks. Not to toot our own horn, a little bit to toot our own horn, but also to show you that the process works. And we're about process here over results, and results just happen to fall into place when you focus on process. That's kind of the thing. You focus on process, making the right moves, having the right kind of discipline, money and bankroll management, good things happen to you. So we're going to talk about that during the show today. A little quarterback musical chairs I want to get into before we get out some predictions on where certain guys...
Yeah, it's one of the biggest offseason games ever.
Yeah, there's a lot of quarterbacks on the move. This winter. This will be our last show for 3 weeks. By the way, we've earned a little break. Killian and I put in several hours a week on the podcast. So Killian will take next week off. You don't even know this. I made an executive decision. We're off next week, and the week after that, I'm in Mexico. I'm in Cancun for the full week.
There you go.
And then we'll return the week after that. So 3 weeks from today.
Be picking up a little bit by then.
We'll be close to March Madness. Yeah. It'll be almost Selection Sunday, so we'll pick back up and really focus on college basketball when we come back, and MLB will be getting going there with spring training and all that good
stuff.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the parade before we get to the game. What was that like? Because I went to the Royals parade, but I'm just kind of an old man now. I sat at home with my girlfriend and her son, and we just watched it on TV. Talk about what the parade was like, though, being out there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really awesome environment, but I kind of feel a little bit old, too. I was like, man, you know, I could have done all of this from home. It was a lot of fun, though. I mean, definitely fuller than the last one. I was at the last parade. I had just moved up here when the last parade happened, and I wasn't super familiar with the layout of Kansas City, so I just kind of remember like wandering around the city with my friends. We're just, you know, we made our way to the Union Station.
You're talking about Chiefs?
Yeah, 19. I was not here for the Royals, but the Chiefs, it was, you know, it was a good time back then. Definitely fuller this time around, but like I have a little bit more of a frame of reference. I know, you know, where Union Station is, how to get there, how to get back, and everything. Definitely bigger. Definitely still cold, but I didn't go to the parade itself. I just waited at Union Station. We didn't have too much of a hard time getting down there. We got an Uber down.
It's expensive?
Not really. We went down at like 10 or so, but got an Uber down for like $30 and then just hung out until after the rally was over. Yeah, everybody was walking home in droves. It was insane. But like, really, it was all that waiting just to hear Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes talk. I mean,
the Hunt family talked,
Brett Veach talked. A lot of these people talked, but at least where I was, you could barely even hear them. And you needed the energy of Travis Kelce to actually be able to hear.
I wasn't thrilled that, I mean, they weren't even going to let Chris Jones talk until he stole the mic away from Mitch Holtis there. See, I was hoping for more of the players, and this is not even a political statement, but it's kind of sad to me that the governor of Missouri had the longest speech.
Right.
Somebody that's not even involved with the club.
Yeah. Like, he's not even Kansas City specific. He's
exactly.
Just
so that's why I was
Lucas, give him his second, I guess. But
Yeah. So you enjoyed the parade.
Definitely some, also not political, but definitely there were some boos for Parsons. I don't think anybody wanted to hear him.
I did notice that on TV as well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not at the parade, which I found.
Yeah, I didn't really.
In New York, he was.
I didn't even really
posting.
Think about that. You texted me about that. I didn't even. Instead of that one way or another.
I mean, he was a healthy scratch for the Super Bowl, and he's the last year of a rookie contract, so I think we pretty much know where this is headed.
And then we got Melvin Gordon on the other side of the spectrum, just like, hey, man, I got carried, I got a free ring.
Yeah, he was also benching, like, I wasn't active. I'm like, bro, you fumble the ball every four totes. Why would you be on the active roster in the playoffs for a winning team?
Yeah.
I mean, go to the freaking XFL.
You're getting paid. Come on.
Speaking of the XFL, did you see our boy Josh Gordon was tweeting, talking some shit during the Super Bowl?
No.
Talking about how he got beat out by number 11 in 84. Like it was a joke, like Justin Watson and Scantling, you know, making the roster over him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you seen yourself the last 2 years or the last?
Not to mention all the concerns about substance abuse and all that stuff.
He had been good in 7 years. He's lucky he made paychecks for these several. If his name wasn't Josh Gordon, he wouldn't have been on the practice squad the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. Anyway, parade overall sounds like it was a success. Last question before we move into the Super Bowl itself. I'm going to give you a gambling line. I need you to tell me if you're going to take the minus or the plus. You're taking the favorite or the underdog here.
Okay.
Last time we had a parade, of course, we, a couple weeks later, had a worldwide pandemic right after that,
which is
not
true.
Coincidental. Jeez, I blame you for it, for being down there and starting it.
It was me,
I'm going to blame you for spreading
me
the COVID-19. That's right. So, minus 800, there's no worldwide pandemic. Are you taking that, or are you taking plus 4,000 that there is one after this parade?
I'm going to take the minus 800. Let's call it a homer pick, too, just because I want it to happen so bad.
Yeah, it's exactly a homer. So no worldwide pandemic minus 800 put you on?
Well, just the continuation of COVID, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, Super Bowl breakdown itself, man. I mean, what a game. I mean, where do we start with this game? Well, I guess starting with the final score. How many times this year, Killian? I mean, you've been talking about it over and over on this show all year long about, with FanDuel Sportsbook, our good friends and partners, how nice it is to be in the state of Kansas during these games for live betting. Mm-hmm. Because the Chiefs always like to get behind by double digits, it seems like. Not always, but many of the games this year, and they often come back and win. And you've talked about it several times, how you've taken some and made some money when you happen to be in Kansas during those. Do you happen to know when they were down 10 what the live money was? Was it plus 350 or something?
I think it was around there. It was not quite four times. Another guy I was watching with at the Super Bowl party mentioned that he wanted to go over a half and bet on the live line, and we didn't end up going because Rihanna,
which was kind of underwhelming, I thought.
Yeah, I mean,
okay,
yeah,
wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, she played her hits, it was good. Like, it just was, I, you know, this isn't a halftime show a podcast, but I just it didn't seem like it really measured up to like the theatrics you see in years past with all the crazy stuff that they do on stage and all the production. Like hers was just a show. It was good.
See, but I just thought, I mean, everyone keeps saying she's playing all the hits. She didn't play like three of her biggest hits, and there was at least three songs that were never on the radio that were played. Yeah. Like she didn't play Pwn to Replay. She didn't play SOS. She didn't play Disturbia. I mean, these are some of the biggest.
She played Disturbia,
didn't
she?
No, she did not. She did not play This Is What You Came For. I mean, there's all sorts of things she didn't play. Like
it was kind of the weird one to me is that she played All the Lights, which is, I mean, she's on it, but it's Kanye's song.
Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, it's incredible that once again the Chiefs decided to get behind by 10. Was not a great first half by any stretch. I guess let's start there with off the bat. You know, both teams go down and have just super successful, almost easy drives down the field to score a touchdown. The Chiefs was even easier. Never even had a third down play the Chiefs didn't on that first touchdown drive of the game. A Trav in the back of the end zone. Funny that he comes out and rips off like 50 yards in the first drive again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
And he finished like 80, so.
Yeah. After that first drive, they kind of slowed him down a bit. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs didn't do a whole lot the rest of the half, really. The second drive stalled out when it was, you know, fourth and three. When the receiver, I think it was, who was it? It was Noah Gray fell down on that play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then Bucker, of course, misses the field goal, which cost you there and, you know, made the Chiefs go down 10 instead of 7 at the half, which was a big deal. First half-wise, where was your mind at halftime? I mean, remember the last thing we saw before half two from the Chiefs offensively was Mahomes barely able to, you know, jog off the field and, you know, throwing his helmet down and grimacing in pain. Be honest, where was your mind at when you thought Mahomes had seriously re-injured his ankle and they were down 10 going into the locker room? They did get the ball first. We knew they had the ball first coming out, but where was your mind at?
Yeah, no, I knew the thing about the ball first, and I knew that, like, if we didn't score on that drive, it would be pretty grim. You can't be optimistic in that situation, but I think I was more optimistic than, you know, a fan normally would be, just because, like you said, Mahomes and the Chiefs have come back from so many double-digit losses this season and in his career as a whole. I didn't feel confident. I'm not going to say that, like, you know, I knew the Chiefs would win. I knew we still had a chance. I knew it wasn't over, but, you know, it was a little grim looking.
Yeah, it's interesting to me in this game. The time of possession, of course, was just firmly with Philadelphia. And I should start by saying one thing I was very impressed with in this game, which this sounds stupid. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this right now. It sounds stupid to say this. Philadelphia 35-47 to 24-13. They had 11 plus minute time of possession advantage in this game. Total yards, Philadelphia 417 to 340. So that's, you know, a 77 yard better there. A couple of things that really were surprising to me. Rushing, the Chiefs outrushed them by 43 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard all week about how much more better the Eagles' offensive line was and their defensive line. And then Chiefs really, you could argue, were as physical, if not more physical, in this game. I mean, you could really argue that. First downs, 25 to 21, Philadelphia. So the thing I was going to say that might sound ridiculous is I was actually, and you can laugh at me, but I was actually impressed with the Chiefs' defense in this game. And I'll tell you why. How many times did the Eagles go for it on fourth down in this game? It's only twice, shockingly, even though it seemed like a lot more. Two out of two. But it's like both of those were just Hurts making amazing plays when the play broke down. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like any other quarter. The Chiefs really did a pretty good job for the most part of containing him. Okay, how many times did we see them picking up these ridiculous third and 18s, like the one to Goddard, which I'm still not convinced was a catch, but... it's like, but a lot of these, they had good coverage. Like, I thought the Chiefs, I just think Jalen Hurts played freaking great in this game.
Yeah. And just to see him do what he did, it definitely shows that, like, kind of like we talked about,
there's too many
things to scheme out. You've either got to prioritize the receivers, or you've got to prioritize the run game or whatever. Sounds like they did a pretty good job of stopping, you know, the running backs and the receivers, but obviously that left some room open for Jalen Hurts. He did score three touchdowns, but yeah, otherwise I think it was a good job. It's hard to say that, yeah, the Chiefs defense did a great job when they let up 35 points.
They were just disciplined,
though. But I get what you're saying. I agree.
How many times did we see these bubbles, or, you know, like even like the second touchdown that Nick Bolton almost had, like they were all over that.
Yeah.
It was a big play later in the game. It was a third and two. The Chiefs were up one in the fourth quarter. It was third and two, and he did kind of a naked rollout, and the Chiefs contained him. They had Willie Gay and Carlos Dunlap came up. And that was the biggest play of the game, arguably. Well, you know, there's third and two. I'm really surprised the Eagles didn't just sneak it. They were ripping off two or run it there. And then, you know, I realized they were like their own 30, so they weren't going to go for it there. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was why, because they didn't, that wasn't four down territory. But there were some plays like that. I thought the Chiefs were extremely well prepared in this game, extremely good. Mm-hmm. How many times could they have gotten 15-yard penalties for roughing? And they just, if you rewatch this game, just notice how smart the Chiefs played on defense, how heady they were on defense. They stayed at home. I just think it was a thing. Yeah, I understand that the Eagles put up 35 points. I understand the stats aren't pretty. I understand you can laugh at me if you want. But I really think Jalen Hurts was just so freaking good in this game.
Oh, yeah.
I think some of that.
I mean, we didn't expect him to throw for 300 yards, and he did that on top of everything else.
Some of this stuff is variance. Like, I just think I think the Chiefs' defense was on the wrong side of variance. I mean, like, 3rd and 18 when you've got the play covered pretty well, and Goddard makes this ridiculous catch. I mean, you know, Hurts rattles off on 4th and 7 a run when you had the play shut down, beats the one defender there. Like, a lot of these things, I think the Chiefs would have, on an average game, would have done a better job at getting a bigger stop earlier in the game than they did kind of in this game. But I just wanted to say, what were your thoughts on the Chiefs' defense versus the... I mean, the Chiefs had the only 2 sacks of the game. Didn't have a single sack for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, the defense was a huge difference maker despite that. I mean, without that Nick Bolton touchdown, who knows how things would have shaken out differently. And he almost had another one. That would have been insane. But no, they played really well. I mean, this was going to be a high-scoring game from the beginning. Neither of these defenses measured up to the offense they were playing against,
Correct. Really.
So, you know, we expected a little bit, but I guess, yeah, like what you're really talking about is the responsibility and like the, you know, the way they stayed home, that they played disciplined. Yeah. They did a great job of that.
And one other question I'll ask you, I've read multiple people, these are more of the neutral type people, I don't even think they're Eagles people, say like, oh, it's too bad because Hurts clearly outplayed Mahomes in this game. Are you sure about that? Did Mahomes just drop the ball untouched for give up a touchdown?
Yeah,
did Mahomes have any turnovers in this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's hard to, like, it's easy, I guess it's easy to say that Jalen Hurts played the best game because he had 3 touchdowns on the ground and 3 for over.
I mean, Mahomes had 3 touchdowns throwing.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I get what it's like the easy button, I guess. Like, it's easy to say that Hurts played the better game, and you definitely won't say that he played the worst game, but, like, Mahomes did everything he needed to, everything that was asked of him, and still, I mean, he had the MVP performance.
Hurts had 70 yards rushing. Mahomes had 44.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing
on a hurt ankle, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how surprised were you the Chiefs? We talked about how the Chiefs were going to really need to try to run the ball in this game. Were you surprised they were able to outrush the Eagles in this game?
I was a little surprised. I didn't think that we'd have like a terribly hard time rushing, but I didn't know that we'd have more rushing yards than them. We both picked Pacheco to go over and Sanders to go under, and you know, I think you cashed on that. We both hit our same game parlays for the Super Bowl, so that was good. But I didn't expect it to be quite as much in favor of the Chiefs as it was.
And just what a job, especially by Andrew Wiley. Right tackle there. A guy that's been, like, people tend to say he's the weak point of the offense. He's a free agent, by the way. I mean, he got himself a nice payday, if not here,
somewhere
else. I mean, the offensive line for the Chiefs was just fantastic. Mahomes never really had there was a couple times in the second half where he really had to escape trouble. He was elusive, and I hear some of the Eagles people saying, well, the Eagles didn't get to him because the field conditions were so bad. And I'm like, well, the Chiefs had the same position. Yeah, but they rush more up the middle. The Eagles are more from angles. And I'm like, okay, you're grasping. They both played on a skating rink. It was the same.
I saw there was a tweet someone was claiming that, like, they went back and watched the whole game and the Eagles slipped twice as much as the Chiefs. And it was an advantage.
Well, then change your cleats.
No, that's what I think it was Mitchell Schwartz was quoted it and was like, just so, like, I don't know about other organizations. I'm assuming it's the same. But with the Chiefs, like, that is a huge priority. Like, your positions coaches care. Andy Reid cares. Like, everybody cares which cleats you're wearing, and it's monitored, and they change mid-game, and it's, like, a huge thing. So, like, if that was an advantage to the Chiefs, it wasn't, like, some, you know, nefarious thing. It was just that they weren't as good with their cleats as we were.
Yeah. Okay, so 2 other takeaways from this game that I wanted to talk to, and let you, if there's anything I didn't mention at the end here.
Okay.
So, can we talk about the Chiefs' special teams the last couple of games? This was a point of emphasis negatively by you and I for much of the season. You had Harrison Butker shanking field goals. The rumors of Tommy Townsend not getting the ball down correctly, depending on who you believe.
I will say on that, just a split second thing, but I thought I saw on that hold that the one Butker missed, it looked like the laces were facing toward him.
I think he slipped too. Mm. I think
that's definitely a possibility too with the field we've been talking about.
But the special teams, besides that, I mean, we had muff punts. You know, why did we have 2 losses during the regular season? Muff punts, you know, directly, and missed kicks. The Colts game was entirely a Sky Moore muff punt and a missed. Was it Matthew Wright? Who was our kicker for that game? Whatever the hell that. No, Matthew Wright got signed after that. Who's that other guy? We had
Amendola. Yeah.
That was an Amendola game. So, I mean, the special teams directly contributed to a couple of losses. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to note against Cincinnati. What did we see? We talk about this. What did we see? We saw a really good job from Bucker. We saw Townsend's had a great season, by the way. A guy that I was not pleased with before this year. So a tip of the cap to Tommy Townsend. But then the punt returns, right? The Sky Moore one against the Bengals to set that up. And then Bucker drilling that long field goal. You know. And then how about in this game? I mean, we talked about what were the two things, and I mean, and this is kind of obvious analysis. I'm not saying like it's some smart analysis that we are geniuses here.
Yeah.
But what did you and I talk about? Turnovers in a close game. We said turnovers and special teams.
Yeah.
The turnover. Who had the turnover?
We did. Yeah.
Or well, we on our favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
and who had the shank line drive punt? That was a horrible punt. The big special teams play. The Kadarius Toney punt return. That punter for the Eagles had come back from an injury. Had not been good the last month. Mm-hmm. And actually, a tip of the cap too. I think it was Sean Payton. Somebody I saw on the pregame show was talking about how the Chiefs had a big edge on special teams, and he mentioned the punter. And look at that. That was a horrible punt for the Eagles. Just how do you cover that? It was a line drive.
Yeah.
The Chiefs set that up perfectly, and Toney had a fantastic punt return, which arguably, you know, outside of that, what I think that third and two stop, you know, other than that, that play right there to me was the biggest play of the second half.
Yeah.
So I just think we need to give a tip of the cap to the Chiefs special teams the last, you know, during the playoffs and especially in this game. And then the last thing that I found really interesting was the two touchdown passes, the wide open pass to Toney and to Sky Moore, right? Mm-hmm. So I read a whole article about this and I found it fascinating.
I saw some videos, I think it's the same thing, about how
from The Athletic, is that where you saw it?
I don't even know, but about how the DB's covering him when he goes in motion, the safety picks it up and he...
Yeah. They're playing the jet sweep there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating though, depending on who you believe, it was kind of Eric Bieniemy, who, by the way, speaking of Eric Bieniemy, is now, as of today, interviewing for the offensive coordinator position with the Washington Commanders, which it goes along with he wants to actually call the plays and finally get out from here and prove he can do it without Reed. And probably Nagy has been promised the OC job, and I think he's probably the heir apparent to Reed someday. But it doesn't matter. It's a different topic for a different day. But Bieniemy, I think, is the guy supposedly that kind of found it. On back when the Eagles played the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't know what week it was, but Jamal Agnew, they found something that they were doing with Jamal Agnew when they'd run him in motion, where the Eagles would just, like you said, completely sell out, like you were just talking about the safety,
right,
and they completely just sell out, put their heads down, and try to take away the jet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Chiefs said, hey, let's run some jerk routes, you know? Which are extremely difficult, and they'd run them a couple times in practice, and even fallen down. You know that they're so hard to pull off, even when they're wide open. You know, you sprint like it's
field.
A jet, planet, and come right back. They have their heads down; they're not paying attention. They're selling out to stop the jet. I thought that was great coaching by the Chiefs to find that from all these weeks back, and they knew. They said all week they knew it'd be open in the game. They used it twice, both sides of the field. So tip of the cap to the Jacksonville Jaguars for using Jamal Agnew to help him. Is he the one that fumbled too in the game?
So. Against,
thank you, Jamal Agnew, for your contributions to the to the Chiefs,
Super Bowl.
To the Chiefs Super Bowl. But I just thought that was fantastic coaching, and really a cool thing. Just like reading about the evolution of how that came about down there, and it's interesting because you all say, "Oh, how's that guy wide open? You know, why aren't they guarding him?" Right?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, I just saw the videos of it that kind of explained it, but it would show like one play they ran the jet sweep and they made sure that, like, you know, the Eagles safety dropped over like that, and then the next play they ran the jerk route and it's wide open because, of course, the guy who was on him doesn't think he has him anymore and the safety's moving over to the other side of the field. Meanwhile, he's back on the same side.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's a beautiful play call. Like you said, I think in the post-game interview, Toney said it wasn't the same play that him and Sky Moore scored on, but it was the same concept. It was definitely like the same idea of, hey, let's shake this guy that goes in motion with you and he's wide open. And yeah, worked out great.
I wonder how many more times they could have pulled that off before.
That's a good question.
Would it have worked the third time, or would they have then caught on by then?
I don't know. I mean, it's a hard thing to defend because it's kind of one of those where, like, damned if I do, damned if I don't.
Situations. It's if I'm on the jet next
time. Yeah. It's like, you know, you it's like a read option. It's like, you decide. You decide what you're going to do, and then I'll read it and do the opposite, and, you know.
How good was Mahomes there in the little read option RPO type thing with Juju on that one drive when they rattled off, what was it, like five catches in one drive?
Yeah,
four
Juju
catches?
Like ate that one drive. He didn't have hardly anything until then. But, Mahomes, he just continues to impress. He's fast with the messed up ankle. The weirdest thing to me is he seems like this has been persisting since the Jaguars game. He, you know, is awful shape, terrible pain, all this, and then he's fine. And then he's in terrible pain, and then he's fine. It's so strange. Like, he starts starts the game, he's fine, he gets injured on something that doesn't look that bad, and then you see him the next day, and he's back to normal. But, you know, a tough guy. I mean, you saw the mic'd up sideline stuff of him after the ankle. You know, it wasn't a good situation, and for him to keep playing like that was very impressive, especially to rattle off that 20-some yard run he did.
Did you think Chad Henning was going to have to make an appearance in this game?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I was really hoping not. I knew that, like, this is a Super Bowl. You know, he's going
to be out there
if it's not going to, like, damage him down the road or something. But I thought there would be at least one drive we had to see Chad.
Well, tip of the cap to him, by the way. He hangs it up with 38 years old with a couple Super Bowl rings and drinking Bud Light there on the field and says, I'm through. That's it. You know, I had a great career. And
what a way to end, too. Like, he did contribute. Uh-huh. You know, he had an awesome couple drives there for the Chiefs, helped us get down the playoff road and, you know, of course, gets the ring.
Yeah. Anything else from this game? I mean, I think one thing I'll say, maybe just, well, do you think about this game before I get to a generic comment?
I was definitely going to mention the motion thing that you did. I mean, the other thing, you always hear about the calls. You hear about this last second thing.
Oh, you were talking about that, the holding.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to lose on that, and it sucks that for everyone, I think a lot of people kind of approach this as like a fan of neither, but just a fan of the game. Like, this was an awesome game, man. You could have made them kick that field goal with 45 seconds left, and then there's a possible game-winning drive for the Eagles. And, you know, should have been a no call and all this stuff. But no, it was the right call. The refs say so. I mean, the defender says so.
Well, they got away with one on Juju in the third drive of the game. That would have been two drives. The Chiefs didn't get the call.
You can do that all day. You can be like, well, they missed this call. Here, we missed that. You know, it's part of officiating. I don't think that things are slanted. We're not. You know, in the camp of it's all rigged.
We don't believe in scripts here.
Yeah, we don't.
You'd have to have about 600 people involved, and then the athletes would have to perform physical stints everywhere. They'd have to catch every pass. They couldn't miss throw a ball. Like, I mean, come on.
But yeah,
I mean,
especially the way that Arian Foster, like, brought it up on that show, like the fact that, like, oh, you're like off field, like, dramas are included in the script. Like, your injuries are included.
You need,
like,
to tear your ACL week, like, 10.
It's just so unfeasible. Like, if you want to say the NFL's go, like, you know, the refs are kind of in on it, they can sway the game with their calls. Like,
Tim Donahue, baby.
That's at least maybe plausible. The fact that the whole NFL is in on it, and there's like a, that's just completely ridiculous.
Yeah, there's like, how many players is there? That'd be like, what, 2,000? No, how many players are there? For
what happens when you get
1,000 players and all their wives and all the coaches and all the trainers, and no one's going to say anything?
Well, what happens when you're telling me that AB knew all that shit and he didn't tell anyone?
Yeah, right.
As mad as he was at the NFL?
Yeah.
You're telling me guys like that never get out there, like, here's the evidence, here's my script from 2017.
Yeah, of course. It's all stupid. We live in a foil society with, at this point, there's one side where it's very you know, over the top sensitive, mm-hmm. and there's another side that literally needs, like, to be in a padded room, I think.
Yeah. But so. my whole point there is just that you can, you know, get really ticky-tack with, like, what was called, what wasn't called. Oh, this was fine because they didn't call that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you just got to kind of accept things.
And that would have been two drives on Juju, obvious holds that were stalled that weren't given to the Chiefs. I mean, and what lost them the game? That or Jalen Hurts just giving the ball away for a touchdown on fumbling the ball? What lost them the game? That or the fact the Eagles didn't stop them one time in the second half? There wasn't one single punt. Well, lost them the game. That or the fact the Eagles got the ball back down one and had a 3-and-out and gave it right back to the Chiefs. Right. Well, lost the game. That or the Eagles had a horrible punt and let the Chiefs return it, 68 yards or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, the Eagles, the Chiefs won the game and the Eagles lost the game.
Right.
You know, I really believe that.
And a lot of respect to, is it Gardner Johnson?
Yeah.
The defender who came out and said, you know, it was a good call. Props to him.
That was Bradbury.
Or Bradbury, sorry, yeah. I mean,
Juju. But Gardner Johnson was on a different comment with Juju talking trash. Did you see what some random guy wrote back to him in the comments? He's like, bro, you're a man with two last names. Sit this one out. I was kind of laughing at that.
Okay, that's like not relevant to anything, but it is a good,
I just thought it was
good,
funny.
Little comeback.
It's kind of a messed up comeback, but I thought it was kind of funny, just the way the guy wrote it. But
that is funny.
Yeah, I think I'm not a huge fan, by the way, of Juju posting these stupid Valentine's. I mean, I get that it's kind of innocent and fun, but I wouldn't be happy if the Eagles had won and they were posting that.
Right, especially, like I said, as good of a sport as they were about it.
Yeah, they didn't talk much. They even admitted to the media that it was a penalty. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Juju had an okay year, but it's not like he had a great year. He didn't have a great game. He had an okay game. He had some nice catches, but
I think the moniker TikTok boy might stick around.
Yeah.
I think.
By the way, props to us both for saying that Scantling wouldn't do anything. I don't think he caught a ball in this game. We both had the under 31.5.
He can still feel good about it because he had such a good last game. But, like, yeah, no, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. We were pretty good in this game. So it was a good Super Bowl. We knew it would go over. We knew the Chiefs would pull out.
I touched on it a little bit, but we both hit our same games for the Chiefs. That's not easy to do. Go over yours. What it is? Do you know?
What I paid?
No, just what you hit for that same game.
The same game was the Chiefs on the money line. It was the over in the game. It was over 2.5 touchdowns for the Chiefs on offense, and it was under rushing yards from Miles Sanders, over rushing yards for Isaiah Pacheco. That was my...
Nice, and Miles Sanders never came anywhere close.
What, did he have 16 yards?
We thought he was going to be hurt and go out of the game completely, and then he did come back, but...
That's another thing. The Chiefs just were so good against the run.
Right.
What did we talk about? You have to make Jalen Hurts beat you with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he had 3 rushing touchdowns, but 2 of those were on the goal line.
Right, yeah.
Three rushing touchdowns is a little deceiving when half of them are quarterback sneaks. It's I don't know. They held him under 80 yards rushing, dude. Mm-hmm. And they completely shut down the Eagles running backs. I just think the Chiefs defense did what they had to do. We had the better quarterback. What did we talk about? Turnovers, special teams, better quarterback, better coach.
Absolutely.
Close game. That's what we talked about. It played out exactly. We had a copy of the script, if we're being honest. The NFL had sent us a copy of the script.
Yeah, we're high enough up in the organization now. We get one.
We reviewed the script and read it, so we knew exactly what was going
to
happen.
I had to make
a
couple wrong picks to throw the people off, but, you know.
Let's recap our 2022 to 2023 NFL season. What do you want to start with? I think we start with a lock of the week.
Yeah, let's start with the lock. That's kind of your thing. We went over it. Well, I was going over the TikTok videos to find the record. And
these are all documented. These are all here. Yeah.
Go check us out, KC Press Box on TikTok. These are all there. You can go back and check the lines. You can check the dates.
You can check right where you're listening to this podcast.
Same things are here.
Just fast forward.
A little bit harder to find on here because it's a whole hour versus 60 seconds. But
fast forward to the last 5 minutes of every episode if you want to go back and check this. This is all documented. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I made a checklist going back to week one of the NFL season. You said that you're about 69% here on the podcast.
Dead even.
Yeah,
lifetime.
I want to say that's kind of the least advantageous way to look at this number. I mean, that's your whole podcast, including going back to last year with Steve when he was on, and so that includes a lot of non-NFL. So this year you did better than 69% if we're just looking at so far with me and you on the podcast, and also if you look at just the NFL, you did better than 69%. So I think that this is really, really impressive to look at. With an overall record, we went 17 wins, 2 pushes, and 4 losses this NFL season.
17-4-2.
Yeah.
So really 17-4.
Yeah. So, I mean, the 17-4 puts us at just over 80%. Those 2 pushes, we had week 4, the Bills -3 against the Ravens. They won by exactly 3, so that one pushed. And then the other one, not a true push, it got suspended.
DeMar Hamlin. The Bengals would have won that
DeMar
Hamlin.
We think we would have won that one, but we got to count it as a push to be fair. So, those aside, 4 losses, 17-4.
That's over 80%. Now, talk about, I know we lost week 1. Talk about some of the winning streaks we had.
Yeah, so lost week 1, from week 2 on, we only had 3 losses. We started with a loss, then we won week 2, won week 3, 4 was the push with the Bills, 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, 1-8, and then lost 9. We won 10 and 11. 12 was Thanksgiving. We won our Thanksgiving lock. We decided to give you a bonus one for Sunday. Lost that one.
So we split.
But we're counting it. Won 13, won 14, won 15. Lost 16. I don't really remember what. I'm sure it was the Raiders.
It was. No, it was.
No. That was when we bet the Titans against the Texans. Freaking Texans.
Oh, that's right. That is what it was. The Titans were also involved in 2 of our 4 losses because we had the Raiders against the Titans. We took the Raiders. So the Titans, it was the Titans and Raiders that screwed us this year of our 4 losses.
Yep. They were also my other Super Bowl future, which of course didn't.
It wasn't awful. I made the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. So the week after our week 16 loss was the DeMar Hamlin issue. Glad he's okay. 18, we won. And then wild card through Super Bowl, we won 4 more times.
So we had a couple of 6 or 7 game winning streaks. We ended on
on a 5 right now.
Yeah, 17-4 with 2 pushes. I mean, realistically, we would have won that Bengals game. We probably should have been 18-4-1, mm-hmm. but, you know, we can't prove it, so we'll go with it. But
yeah, so we did the math, too, on that. If you bet, we're taking the pushes out of here, even though that would probably help. If you bet on all 21 games, just $100 based on Davo's picks, you'd be up, and this doesn't include your initial bets, you'd be up $1,619.
Just betting $100 a week. You'd be up $1,619 this year.
Yeah, and that's in additional winnings. And then say we pop that up to $500, where Davo likes to hang out, you'd be up almost $8,100 this year.
Just from betting our lock of the week.
Blindly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And you know, I for the year of myself, I did end up just north of $13,000 on the NFL this season.
Would have been just shy, but Super Bowl squares.
Yeah, Super Bowl squares pushed me over the 13,000.
Glad to help.
And it would have been like almost 16 grand if the Bills would have beaten the Dolphins in that first round of the playoffs. I had them in a teaser for like $1,200. Oh, it was a $2,400 swing in that game. Missed it by a half point.
Hey, neither of us picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
Nope.
Neither of us picked Josh Allen to win the MVP.
Nope. So. We had Mahomes MVP. We had Chiefs Super Bowl. So let's wrap it up with the recap of this year on divisions. How did we do on the divisions?
All right. Yeah. So I'll just go through it the way we started last time with the AFC West. We got this one right, I believe. Let's see.
The Chiefs?
Well, yeah, we got the Chiefs right. I'm just saying the whole thing.
Mm.
So here, almost, I got that. Yeah, we had the Chiefs at 1, Chargers 2, Broncos 3, Raiders 4. Now the actual was, of course, the Chiefs at 1, Chargers 2, Raiders 3, and Broncos 4.
Okay.
So we missed the last two. I had to go back and listen to these to see our picks, and we were very iffy on whether the Broncos and Raiders would be 3 or 4, but we agreed on the 1 or 2, so I feel pretty good about this one.
Yeah.
A lot of doubters here per Travis Kelce yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, people are kind of annoyed with us for acting like the underdogs, but there were a lot of people that picked the Chargers to win this division. There were a lot of people that picked us to finish in dead last in this division.
You got Bart Scott saying we missed the playoffs. You had Will Compton saying we'd missed the playoffs. You had Keenan Allen saying Mahomes would be exposed without Hill. Yeah. So yeah,
I kind of feel like it was like a cute hot take this year. Like it was like a easy little thing.
Just to hoping be right.
Right. It'd just be like, oh, well, without, you know, because I just feel like people always act like Mahomes is overblown, and he'll be like Keenan Allen said, he'll be exposed without Tyreek Hill.
Good luck with that, Keenan. How'd that
and
go for
honestly, you? I think I've talked about it in the podcast before, but props to both of them. Mahomes went and won a Super Bowl and MVP. Tyreek Hill was the highest graded wide receiver in football this year. So they both are damn good by themselves.
And the Chiefs, by the way, have 12 draft picks, a lot of them for that. They have 12 draft picks in the NFL draft this
April.
And
one of the youngest teams as it is.
And all these rookies that grew up, your Pachecos and your Watsons and your McDuffies and your Brian Cooks and your Karloftis and Leo Chenaults, on and on. I mean, there's more than that. So it's still a very young team.
Didn't we end up retaining everybody we drafted this year, too?
Yeah, I believe so.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
That doesn't usually happen.
Yep.
But yeah, no, we'll get off the West. Good division for us. I will say, so going back, Devo and I had the same exact order for all four AFC divisions. We differed quite a bit in the NFC. But yeah, so the picks you're hearing are for both of us concerning the AFC. So on to the AFC North. We both had Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, Browns.
We drilled that, huh?
We drilled it. So that one's perfect. I don't think we dreamed that the Browns would have quite as much of an issue with Deshaun as they did. We got this one just right. I think we both thought that the Ravens would be a little bit closer of a second, but with Lamar going out and some of the issues they had this year finishing games, got this one absolutely right. So there's a big green check mark for us. I don't know how to factor that into our betting record, but it's a win. All right, on to the East. The East, we had the Bills, the Dolphins, the Pats, and the Jets, and that was also correct.
Man.
I can't believe the Jets finished in last.
I can't either. They fell apart. They lost six in a row at the end of the year. Yeah. They were sitting at 10, at 7-4 and then ended 7-10.
So that's a
good. I didn't realize we got both of those two exactly correct. You haven't told me those results yet.
Yeah, no. I just kind of wrote them down. But yeah, no.
I'm hearing this for the first time.
I didn't
right
realize
now.
We got that one. So we're 2-3 so far with one.
In the other division,
transposition.
We debated. We didn't,
Right. And it's not like they were all out of whack. We had 3-4 switched. But we'll go on to the South, the last in the AFC. We had, this one was a little bit different. All right, we had Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis Colts, Jaguars, and Texans. And, of course, we had Jaguars, Titans, Colts, and Texans. So, I mean, we just had Jaguars.
The first and second swapped.
No, I mean, we still had Tennessee and Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But it's just
true.
Jaguars was 1 instead of 3.
So we missed on Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That's 1. That's our only really miss in the AFC, though.
Yeah.
Honestly. I'll take that.
Yeah, we just didn't anticipate Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence getting them together
taking that step
well as they did this last season. Okay, but on to the NFC. This is where things differed a little bit more. NFC West, we both had the Rams 1. This is an ugly one. I'm just going to tell you right now. We both had the Rams 1. I had the Cardinals number 2. You had the 49ers, so a little bit better for you there. You had the 49ers 3. I had the Cardinals. I had the Cardinals
3rd.
Yes, exactly. I had 49ers 3rd. Cardinals second, and you had vice versa.
And we both had
Seattle. And then we both had Seahawks in fourth.
So we dropped the ball in that division. That was
a little bit.
That's a loss right there.
Yeah, because the actual was 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, and then Cardinals. So we were all, I don't even.
NFC West, we choked.
Yeah, NFC West.
We choked, Killian.
But, like, I mean, who expected the Rams to be first to worst? Like, they
nobody expected them to be that bad.
No, I mean, there's the worst. The things have gone for them.
5-12.
Yeah, I mean, there's the worst returning record from a Super Bowl champion, and their quarterback was hurt, and their defense fell apart. And
I do remember. I do remember wanting to pick the 49ers and just not being able to do it at the last second. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I get why you didn't, but I mean,
I did have him in second, though. Yeah. But I remember struggling over that because I didn't think I had a feeling the Rams were going to not be as good. But I didn't. Yeah, nobody thought they were going to go 5-12. I think people thought it was going to be like a 10-7 type season, 11-6. Yeah, you know, type thing.
And we were among the writers' offers of Geno. So, yeah, we had him in fourth, and they finished in second.
It's comeback player of the year, my man.
Yeah, shout out Geno Smith. All right, next we've got the NFC East. This was pretty close again. Dave O was...
Who had Philly, huh?
Yeah, Dave O was a little bit happier with this one than me because he had Eagles 1, Cowboys 2. I had Cowboys 1, Eagles 2. Of course, we know the Eagles made it to the Super Bowl. And then we both had Commanders 3, Giants 4.
That wasn't that bad of a division. I mean, we missed... The Commanders were only a game worse than the Giants, so we weren't too far off on that division.
Yeah, that one was... I mean, I think there was a lot of divisions we talked about there being like a top 2 and a bottom 2. And this is one where we got that right. It's just that we, you know...
Yeah.
I had them both opposite. You had one.
We need to talk about the NFC North because I love to talk about this division.
Yeah, we do. Especially me. Okay, we'll get there. What's next? We'll go to the NFC North. let's see. We both had the Vikings at one. Did you guys know that we picked the Vikings
at one? Yeah, we didn't mention it every single week all year.
If you guys didn't know, we picked the Vikings at one. And they won. So we got that. I had the Lions at 2. You had the Packers at 3. I had the Packers at 3. You had the Lions.
So we just swapped those.
I can't talk, but yeah.
You got the you got the division right 1-4.
I did. I went, I got it exactly right, and that was a shout out for the Hard Knocks. I can't talk.
Yeah.
But yeah.
For opening your eyes.
For opening my eyes. Yeah, I found a snippet where I was like, I'm drinking the Hard Knocks Kool-Aid, and you said it sounds like you're drinking the hard vodka. But hey, thanks to that last game of the year, the Lions took the second spot, and I got that one right.
Well, let's be real. We pretty much drilled that division.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We had the Vikings in first. We both had the Bears in last, and then we just flip-flopped Lions and Packers. They were within a game of each other. Right, it literally came down to the last game of the entire NFL, Sunday night game,
to
decide that. So.
And everybody thought the Packers would win.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't bet on it because I kind of did too. But anyway, last division in football. This is one that I got right, but... You know, one win could have swapped every single.
This is not a division you really want to brag about because it was 8-9 and the rest were 7-10. I mean,
it's kind of luck. It's like betting on like the first three players to score a touchdown.
Yeah, because they all ended up with the same record basically.
Right. Yeah. So I had the Bucks at 1, Panthers 2, Saints 3, Falcons 4.
Dave, so you got 3-4 right.
I got them all right.
Oh, you know? Oh, that's right. You did. You got them 1-4. I'm sorry.
And then you had Saints, Bucks, Panthers, Falcons. So we both got Falcons right. The other ones were a little switched up. We definitely thought the Saints would do better than they did. We had kind of a falling apart there. Andy Dalton season. Not sure what's going on with Jameis, where he'll be next year if he's alive.
Not sure what's going on with Kamara. If they just don't want to throw him the ball for some apparent reason, I don't really understand it. But hey,
yeah, I don't know if he like hit on one of the coach's wives or something. Like there's something they're mad at him. I don't know. But yeah, so I got that one right. Davos was pretty. Like I mean, everybody was pretty close. We have 3-7-10 teams here, and then the Bucks are 8-9. So
really, we pretty much drilled the AFC outside of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And we drilled half of the NFC. We just had one or two bad divisions. And we both got the Super Bowl champion. We both got the MVP. And we hit over 80% of our locks of the week. I would say that's a pretty damn successful NFL season right here on the KC Press Box.
Absolutely. So very proud of that.
I'm very proud of that. Well, so one more quick thing here. Where does what do you think about Aaron Rodgers and his is his darkness retreat over with now? I think it's over yesterday.
Have we heard from him publicly since?
I think he was starting it on Saturday. He's 48, he's 96 hours. So did somebody like knock at a door and like put a tray of food like he's in prison, like underneath the door so he can eat?
I have so many questions about it. Just like I think we said it last episode, but it just sounds like such a like a buzzword kind of thing. Like how does that actually work? How do you spend 96 hours in darkness?
Without a phone.
Do you have a clock that tells you? Does someone bring you food? Do you just like pee on the ground?
Yeah.
What happens?
And how do you make sure your eyes don't adjust? So it's not, you know, because your eyes adjust after a while. You have to
But honestly, if you're in complete darkness, it won't.
But I guess, but where's that at? Where's it at? I'd like to know where it was.
I don't know.
Was he on mushrooms? You know, what was he doing?
That's true, yeah.
We need answers here.
I think that we could start a business and just build tiny little huts in the woods, make sure that they're completely dark, and sell them to people like Aaron Rodgers.
You can sell anybody anything, man. Yeah. Where does Aaron Rodgers end up next year? Is he back in Green Bay? Is he retiring? Is he with the Jets? Is he with the Raiders? Is he with the 49ers? Where is Aaron Rodgers going?
I don't know. Not the 49ers, if you believe him.
Is it the Colts?
There's a lot of options. I'm going to actually, I don't know if it's
is
on
he the
FanDuel.
Falcons?
I don't know if it's on FanDuel or not, but I'm going to try and pull up. Some sports books have odds on, you know.
Oh, they do?
They do. So go ahead and weigh in a little bit. I'm going to try to find that.
Aaron Rodgers, I think it's a pretty much a done deal. It's Jordan Love season in Green Bay, so I'm pretty sure, you know, after his staged walk off with Cobb, you know, around each other, it was obvious they knew that was it, that they wanted to walk off together. That, you know, the kind of they, you know, they were there together for the majority of the time. So I think he's gone. I think Aaron Rodgers. I'm gonna go ahead and take the Buccaneers. I think he somehow ends up in Tampa Bay.
I kind of like that. It seems like the nice landing spot for him. The same reasons that Tom ended up there.
Well, every quarterback wants to go in the NFC South. There's no good teams, right?
As we just established,
you can win.
8-9 record last year.
Good weather, you can win. I'm going to say he goes to the Bucs, and then Derek Carr, who is just a dick. You know,
you have to release me. I'm not accepting a trade. I'm going to go away the last two games because I'm so good. I've led the Raiders to so much success, and I'm such an elite quarterback.
Where does he end up at? Colts?
Yeah, I could see him on the Colts. I could see him maybe on the Titans.
What happens to the Raiders?
That's one that I think is definitely a front runner for Rodgers, just because of the whole Davante Adams thing and trying to get him there. But, like, I don't know. Are these teams in a place to pay him for, like, a year just to have him and then go back to building whatever they had before? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. I mean, let's go through the NFL right now. Like, let's go through the quarterbacks that – The starting jobs. Daniel Jones is a free agent. He'll re-sign with the Giants, but he is a free agent. We don't know for sure what the Commanders are going to do, right?
Yeah. Looks like Heinicke won't be there, it sounds like.
Yeah. So Green Bay, we're assuming it's Jordan Love, but that's another opening.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay doesn't have a quarterback. What's Carolina doing? What are the Saints doing? What are the Falcons doing? Are the 49ers just going to go with Lance and Purdy? Or are they going to bring somebody in? Seattle, I'm assuming, brings back Geno Smith, obviously.
So where does Jimmy go then, too? Because he's not going to be back.
Yeah. Jimmy's also another guy.
I think he could be a Colts
guy. Baker Mayfield's a free agent. Where is he going? And who are the Rams starting? Are they going to rely on Stafford recovering for one more good year? That's just the NFC alone. Let's go to the AFC right now. Lamar, we think, is back with Baltimore. We're not sure, but probably. You go, I mean, is Tua going to be cleared to play? Is Tua going to be okay? What happens to the Dolphins? Who are the Jets going to have a quarterback? Who are the Titans going to have a quarterback? Tannehill's a free agent, and they can't start Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Who are the Colts going to have a quarterback? The Texans? The Raiders? I mean, so I just named you, how many, 12 teams? Yeah. 15 teams? Dude, almost, I'd say 40% of the NFL has an opening at quarterback. It's unbelievable, right? I mean, so more than ever, these teams that have a franchise guy or even just a steady guy, like even like a guy like Kirk Cousins is massively like a big deal this offseason. Even having him coming back to your team, at least you have somebody in the offense who's a serviceable quarterback, you know? So the haves and the have-nots may be even a little bit more than normal in the NFL this next year, depending on what happens, because you're going to have a lot of new, you know, floating quarterbacks going to new situations. There'll be a couple rookies that come in and start, but I mean, there's never been anything like this that I can remember, right?
Yeah, I mean, what about the Falcons? Did you mention them? I mean,
yeah, I did. Yeah,
does Mariota? What's he doing?
No,
or like Ritter? Surely they don't start him next year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's
a lot of guys out there that need. They have a guy, but they don't want them to be the guy. At least
it's a good winner to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
It is. Yeah, it's a very good winner.
Or Derek Carr.
Yeah,
you're gonna get paid. Guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr are gonna get paid big money because there's just so many teams that need a quarterback, and there's really only a handful of guys that you feel, you know, you've lost Brady from the fray. I'm assuming Matt Ryan is washed, and he's going to retire, I'm guessing. You've lost those two. I mean,
that was another thing I heard when we were going back through trying to find these picks is we talked about how, like, why are people acting like Matt Ryan is so much better than Carson Wentz was going to be, and we nailed that one.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Matt Ryan, I loved watching. Did you watch 80 for Brady yet?
I've not.
I did watch 80 for Brady the night before. Well, it has the clips from that Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
So it's just funny, though, seeing Matt Ryan melt down, even back then. They had that, what, 28-3 or 28-10?
So how did that work? Do they, like, have footage from that game?
Or yeah, like they had actual like on-field stuff too.
Huh, that's cool.
But it like, yeah, it was just funny seeing Matt Ryan have a big turnover in the game, and I'm like, oh, some things just don't change. Yeah. That's our guy. That's the Matt Ryan we know and love. So
going back to Aaron Rodgers real quick, I did find these odds. I can't see where they're via, but it says that these are as of Tuesday afternoon, so very recently. Las Vegas Raiders are -300, so they're strong favorites.
Really?
I feel like that's too much.
Do they have any for other quarterbacks or just him?
This is just some things. It's off SportsCenter. It's specific to Aaron Rodgers. But so here's the full list of what they have here. Raiders are at -300 is the favorite. Jets are +200. And then way big space before everyone else. Bucks are at +1400 if you like them.
I don't hate that.
The 49ers are at +1600. I don't know about that. Titans +2000. Patriots +2000.
Colts on there?
Those are the only ones I'm seeing right now. I'm sure there probably are more. But
I don't think the Patriots are going to go. I think they're going to go with Mac Jones. I think they're going to give him Zappy. A year. Or Zappy. Exactly. I think they go from within for 1 year. I think they got bigger problems right now than to worry about that. You don't want to get in that quarterback game right now.
Right.
So, but what a good time to have one of these main guys. Well, man, I'll tell you what. This has been a great NFL season. Anything else to add about the NFL? I feel really good about how we did. This year, I mean, us personally both had a nice winning seasons. I feel like we had a lot of people riding along with us, and we appreciate every single one of you who listens to us. We're hoping to keep growing in the future. I guess let's talk about the offseason, and you know, because this is basically an NFL-centered podcast, obviously.
Yeah.
We do have the NFL draft coming here in April, so we'll have lots to talk about as we get into March.
Absolutely. Kind of a preview of that yesterday, same exact area.
Yeah, same exact area. That's going to be an amazing thing. So we'll have lots to – we'll have some guests joining us this offseason. Mm-hmm. Look forward to that. Some different analysts and different people within the betting industry will be joining us. So that's something to look forward to coming up. And we will talk NCAA basketball a lot with March Madness getting going here in just a few weeks, especially the area of the country we're in, Killian. I mean, you got great teams this year. Mizzou's looking good. Well, good-ish. Yeah. KU's is having a great year. Kansas State's having a great year. KU's got a huge game against Baylor on Saturday, which I'm excited about. So lots
check out
to talk
Devo
about
at the Rally House.
That's right. I'll be at the Rally House in Lawrence, Kansas this Friday, if you're listening. Friday, February 17th, doing a live show out there 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So swing by there before the KU-Baylor game. But we'll be talking a lot about college basketball, MLB as well. I know you yourself are a gifted NFL guy and really into the NFL. So we'll definitely be bringing up the NFL during the summer. Killian gets a little depressed this time of the year for about 5 months. He's like, man.
Hey, maybe the XFL will cure me this year.
That's right. You got USFL, XFL.
There's so many FLs now.
Yeah, before you know it, we'll have the draft. And then a couple months after that, you know, training camp's not that far off. And then fantasy football, it'll all be starting over again. So before you know it, we'll be back to football. But we will be off. My point is we'll be with you most weeks during the offseason. We are an NFL podcast, but we'll be with you the majority of the offseason. I have a big baseball background, so I'll talk lots about the Royals and lots about baseball. And college basketball is a very successful thing for us wagering as well. So we'll be here for those two things with you. But yeah, we'll be back 3 weeks, Killian. Enjoy the next couple of weeks off. You and I haven't had a week off from this since, I guess, what, July?
I mean, there was
early
one,
August?
One maybe during the holidays, but not many.
No, I don't think we took a week off.
Oh,
ever.
You're right, because we did the Thanksgiving one. Yeah.
We did it early. No, we haven't had a week off. So this will be our first week off. Next week, we're just going to take a week to relax and decompress from all the work we put into this, you know, 10 hours a week, 10 plus hours for both of us. And then the week after that, I'm in Cancun. So 3 weeks from today, we'll get going again and kick off with a March Madness episode coming up in March. I mean, we'll have to do some sort of bracket reveal and, you know, reveal our own brackets and our champion predictions and talk all that here.
Absolutely. I feel like there'll be more variance there than there was in our conference picks. So
yes,
there'll be more to argue about.
Yep. And we'll probably want to acquire a paper shredder as well, because most likely by about 2 hours into the tournament,
the first day.
Or both of us will be shredding our brackets. Yeah. All right, Killian, well, enjoy your next few weeks, my man.
Yeah, we'll be back soon, but we are out.
Powered by FanDuel, it's the KC Press Box with Dave O and Killian White.